because he lives. All my fear is gone because I know, yes, I know he holds the future and life is worth the just because he lives. Aren't you glad about it tonight? Oh, it's because he lives. I can face tomorrow. Yes, because he lives. My future and life is worth the living just because. I want you to sing it one more time with all your heart. It's because he lives. I can face tomorrow. Give the Lord a big hand clap of praise. Aren't you glad he's alive tonight? Praise the Lord. And he lives in you tonight. Is that right? Aren't you glad he's alive in you tonight? Shake somebody's hand. Give them a nice warm smile. Tell them you're glad to see him in church tonight on Wednesday night. Play some more of that, guys, if you will. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, let's sing a little bit more of that tonight. Give me a verse for the hurry.
God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal and
because I know
he holds.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Amen. I believe that tonight, don't you? Tell you what, the future without Christ, it ain't much of a future. Well, I'm glad we've got a great future. We've got a future that's absolutely out of this world, Brother Terry. Praise the Lord. I'm going to let you be seated tonight while we look at our prayer requests. Brother Brett, if you'd get ready tonight to lead us to the Lord in prayer as over these prayer requests. I have a card here from Sister Joy Livingston. She wants to thank everyone for your prayers, the calls, the cards, the basket, and the food. You realize how much you need your brothers and sisters in these times. Doing much better, and we'll be having another heart procedure in a few weeks. Please keep me in your prayers, Sister Joy Livingston. So we thank God that she's doing better. We just continue to pray for her, that the Lord would help her. Brother Lenuel Yance, he got a real good report from some tests that he had. He wants to praise the Lord for that tonight. So we just got a lot to praise the Lord for, don't we? Amen. Brother Wes Willis and family, very special prayer request tonight. The Lord knows all about it. We're just committed unto the Lord. Brother Tim Burdett fell on some stairs, tore his shoulder muscle, in a lot of pain. They're asking that we would pray for him tonight. We love Brother Tim Burdett. He's a real brother. And so let's just pray that the Lord would help him. Brother Pinky, Sister Phyllis, Sister, please pray for their daughter, Michelle Lloyd. She's in the hospital with a staph infection, so we want to pray that the Lord would be with her. Brother Reese wants to give this testimony tonight. His brother-in-law that had requested prayer, that had the tumor the size of an orange, has shrunk to the size of a ping pong ball or smaller. They want to praise the Lord for that. Thank God that that's being taken care of. Sister Renee Yant says to please pray for my nephew, Ethan Stutzman. He has special needs and is having a very difficult time at school, so we want to remember that prayer request tonight. Please pray for my wife, Connie Marangelo. I hope I got that name right. She was put in a nursing home about an hour ago. This was on Tuesday in Big Stone Gap, Virginia. She's been to several doctors, and from what I can understand, they ruled out heart trouble, but we're guessing on pancreatitis or gallbladder or stomach problems. Thank you for your prayers. That's from her husband, Brother Danny. So we just commit that need to the Lord tonight and ask God to be with those folks. Want to pray for Brother Bob King, who is down with his back. Sister King, who has had a sick headache all day. So let's pray that the Lord would be with those folks tonight. Want to pray for Brother Bobby Hayton, who fell on his job, has been taken to the hospital with an injury to his head. So let's pray for Brother Bobby tonight. The Lord will be with him. I want to pray for Brother Dan and Sister Judy Dyer's granddaughters, Kara and Hannah. Both have serious needs. Brother Dan and Sister Judy are there tonight. So let's pray for those needs in that family. Lynn Estrada from New Mexico says, I have an urgent prayer request. Thank you so much, and may the Lord bless you all. So we just commit that unto the Lord tonight. I want to pray for Brother Gene Terrell and his family. His brother passed away this morning, so let's pray for that situation. The Lord would be with them. I want to pray for Brother Junior Davis, very sick in his stomach, not feeling well, so let's continue to remember Brother Junior in prayer. Brother Baker sends us in to please pray for Sister Christine Baker, who is home sick. Also, I have an opportunity for a job. If it is the will of the Lord, help him pray on that situation. And I think Sister Geraldine Yance got to go home. I believe that I'm right. She had been in the hospital, just been very sick and in the hospital, but she did get to go home. And Brother Joe Yance, I believe, is he still in the hospital? So we want to pray for Brother Joe Yance as well, that the Lord would just be with him and give him healing in his body. We've got a lot to pray about tonight, but we're not serving a God that's limited as to what he can do. He can do everything that we've read tonight and much, much more if we just believe. We'll commit it all under his hands. You have an unspoken prayer request tonight, something you'd like for this group to pray about. Let's stand to our feet. Brother Brett, if you'd come, lead us to the Lord. Let's just commit these things unto God. Aren't you glad to be in church tonight? Isn't it a privilege to get to come to the house of God? Amen, Brother Brett. God bless you, buddy. Appreciate you. God bless you.
Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we love you so much today. We just thank you for the opportunity to be able to come once again together to just put you at our focal point, Lord. Just be able to thank you for all that you've done, Lord. Thank you for the testimonies these people have overcome, Lord, by your hand. We know that you are able to do it, Lord. We thank you for it. And our other brothers and sisters, Lord, they have afflictions in the body, Lord. Some of the diseases, Lord, some of them just have bad news. We pray that you just are mindful of them, Lord. We know that you are with us in each and every single situation, Lord. May your glory just come from. We ask that you just bless those people, Lord. May you just show your hand as a healer in their lives. And Lord, we thank you for the testimonies once again, Father. For we know that from those testimonies that these problems we have here are just future testimonies. We just thank you for that assurance that we have in you, Lord. Lord, these unspoken requests, we know that you know every single heart in this building and every single heart of the person that requested it, Father. You know the situation and exactly what needs to be done. And we're sure of that, Lord, and we just ask that you just move for them. May your perfect will be done, Lord. May your will be done in the service today, Lord. Just get every single person out of the way. May you just bless the worship, that we be able to prepare our souls for you, Lord. May you just speak to us, Father. You just meet the needs of your people here tonight, Lord. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Brother Larry told me that Sister Gerald Yance is over in the fellowship hall here in the service with us tonight. So somebody say, God bless you, Sister Gerald. Amen. We appreciate him, don't we? You just, you realize just how much you do appreciate people when they're not around. You get to thinking about people that you used to go to church with and you used to see in service, and all of a sudden you realize it dawns on you, well, where are they at? And they're either gone or dead. And you just wonder what happened to them. And you don't even know it till it's already, that sounds funny. I didn't mean for it to sound that funny. But I want to appreciate people while they're right here. I want you to know I appreciate every one of you tonight. You're precious folks. Look at somebody and say, you're precious tonight. Now mean it with all your heart when you say it too. Amen. Is Brother Tracy here? Brother Tracy, are you here tonight? Where's Brother Tracy? Lord, he's sitting right back here. Give Brother Tracy a nice hand tonight. God bless you, buddy. Amen. Well, we're just glad to have folks back. We appreciate you. May God bless you tonight. Let's sing a song. I want him to stand by me. And he has stood by me for many, many years. When I wasn't even worth standing by, he stood by me. I appreciate that, don't you? Let's sing about it tonight.
When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. Oh, when the storms of life are raging, stand by me. Stand by me, Lord, stand by me. Oh, in the midst of tribulation, I need you to stand by me. When the hosts of hell assail, and my strength begins to fail, who knows
all about me.
Oh, stand by me. Now in the midst of persecution,
stand by me.
I believe you will.
Praise the Lord. I believe you'll do it too, don't you? Amen. Well, you're just singing so good tonight, you're going to have to sing a little bit more. Let's sing that little song tonight. Sometimes, hallelujah. Sometimes it's praise the Lord. You know, we're living in a very, very busy season right now. And people will absolutely run all over you. And you just have to pray to keep Lucifer from taking the higher seat. But I'm glad that we've got something on the inside that will keep us sweet most of the time. It needs to be all the time. God bless your heart tonight. I'm not going to tell you what happened to me a while ago because he wouldn't bless you. But I got put to the test. And anyway, I'm here tonight in church. I've got victory in the Lord, so praise God. Amen. Let's sing. What was we going to sing? Sometimes hallelujah. Let's sing about it then.
Sometimes hallelujah, sometimes praise the Lord, sometimes gently singing, our hearts in one accord. Ushers come. Oh, sometimes hallelujah. Sometimes praise the Lord.
We praise you, Lord.
Sometimes gently singing.
our hearts in one accord.
Let us lift our voices.
Hallelujah.
Up to the sky and start to sing.
God bless you. You can be seated tonight. Brother Harry, you got a song for us tonight? Just before Brother Donnie comes to bring the word. You don't? Well, all right. Let's just sing it. Let's just sing a chorus. Is Brother Donnie speaking tonight, Brother Jimmy? Brother Donnie speaking tonight. Our pastor and the brothers got back on their from their trip. Hope they had a good trip, but we're sure glad they're home, aren't we? Amen. Let's sing this song tonight just before Brother Donnie comes to bring us the word of the Lord. Just tell him, I'm redeemed. I'm glad I've been redeemed tonight. Aren't you glad? Amen. Let's sing about that tonight, if you will. I am redeemed. I've been bought with a price. Jesus has changed my whole life. You just who I am. Oh, tell them I am redeemed. Oh, yes, I am redeemed, bought with a price. Jesus has changed my whole life. Just who I am. Oh, tell them I am redeemed. Yes, now I am.
Jesus has changed my
redeemed tonight. Psalms 112, verse 1. I want to speak to you tonight on a godly, fruitful man. A godly, fruitful man. Psalms 112, verse 1 through verses 7. Praise you, the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. Ain't that good? Surely he will not be moved forever. Let the devil say whatever he wants to say. I don't really care. This is what God's promise is to us. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. A godly man. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we love you tonight. We're so grateful, Lord Jesus, that these things we have just read, they are not words that were just put in together into a book fabricated by man's idea. But we believe, Lord God, you were the one who gave these words. And we believe that there are promises not only to sons, not only to men, but to women as well. For every child of God that desires for the word to be a living principle in their life. May we take these things tonight, Father. May we be blessed by gathering together. We thank you. It's an honor, a privilege that we can once again be in the house of God. Speak to us tonight, Father, from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, saints. Nice to see you again. Appreciate the privilege to be in the presence of the Lord. How many of you brothers want to be a fruitful man? Amen. Fruitful in the aspect not so much of just the sexual reproduction of your body, having children, having your bills paid and all of that, but a spiritual fruition is to me even of more value than just the natural part. God has always had poor people, and there will always be poor people in the economy of God. It does not mean that they're not fruitful people. Now, if a person can be trusted with wealth and riches and all that sort of thing, well, I think that's by the discretion of the Almighty God instead of just our own choice of I want to be rich or I want to be wealthy. But whenever God looks at riches, it's by far more, the riches of God are more than just money, houses and lands and material things. And God wants us as his children to be fruitful. As men of God, as servants of God, whenever I say that, I'm not just talking about preachers, but as sons of God, God wants each of us to walk in the perspective call that God himself ordained us to be. We know that our experiences with God are even ordained by God himself. You might hear of a man that prays a lot. You might hear of another man that does this and walks in this certain spot, and you think, well, I wish I could be that way. I wish I could have that. Well, you know, some of those things we can have, and some of them we cannot. The thing that we need to do is go to him who provides even those spiritual experiences and say, Lord, what can I handle? Maybe something like that. Maybe that man walked that close to you, but maybe he fights so many devils in order to get that, I'd never be able to deal with the repercussion to get the blessing. Now, if you think a person is able to walk in the spheres with God and walk in the heavenly places as God and not fight battles, you've got another thought coming. So whenever we're asking for something, many times we're only asking for the side we see. And there's another side that comes with that you may not be able to bear. And if God gave you that, it would totally blow you away. It would so burden you down and so worry you down. So you know what? God will keep that blessing from you because he knows accompanied with that blessing will come a great trial that you'll never be able to handle. So sometimes when we ask God for things and God says no, we ask God for things that we think would be to our benefit and God doesn't give them. He's actually saying no because it's for our good. But yet, and no matter whether we walk in the deep, deep places with God or whether you have to walk in a place that's not as deep, but yet in every position that we walk, truly every one of us surely desire to be fruitful in that God-called position. Now, being in that, the Lord Jesus, his desire, it brings glory to God for each of us to bring fruit out of our lives. Let's read, if you would, now Matthew chapter 13, verse 23. Now, a godly man is going to be a fruitful man. Keep in mind also, sisters, as well. He that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word. And? Now, it's not enough just to listen to tapes. It's not enough just to listen to your pastor preach. You'll never be a fruit bearer if you don't understand. Now notice this. He that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit. Now he that receives the seed into the good ground. The difference is always the ground. Now a man can sow seed on this ground, on that ground, stony ground, hard ground among the thorns. But Jesus himself was the one who made the differentiation between the ground and saying that there was a certain type of ground that was good ground. So if a man has good ground, which is predestinated earth to receive the seed in, then the predestination of God also allocates to him or her a certain element of understanding. With the understanding coupled with the ability to receive seed, there going to bring forth fruit. There is no question about it. Bringeth forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Now this is not 30% or 60% and some 100%, but it's 100-fold, 60-fold, and 30-fold. The man bringing forth 30-fold is 100% in his capability. The woman bringing forth 30-fold is 100% in her capability. But given to her and she will reproduce 30-fold. That don't mean that she's a 30% Christian. She's an absolute sold-out daughter of God. Now, God wants us then to be fruitful. In that, of course, you know that fruit ties in with fruit of the Spirit. It also ties in with the manifestation of the living word for the hour that you live in. Now, watch Jesus in Luke 8:15. But on the good ground, again, the same parable, are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit. Now, watch fruit with patience. So fruit with patience. So here the fruit now is coupled not only with a predestinated life that will force it out, but here in this part of the way Luke writes it, it is also coupled with patience, which tells you and I that sometimes that fruit might be a long time coming. It might take a lot longer than what we even want it to be, but if we have patience, it will bring forth the fruit of God. Watch this in St. John 15:2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, speaking of the Father, the husbandman. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now watch this. This is Jesus giving the principle of bringing forth fruit. Every child of God, this should be our desire to bring forth fruit unto the Lord. Is this what you want? We want fruit of the Spirit. We want the fruit of the message of the hour. We want all the manifestation of God that God will allow us to have in our lives. Is that right? Now watch. Then if we bring forth fruit, with the bringing of the fruit will come purging. Why? Because you found a fruitful branch. And in order for that branch to remain to its full capacity, that branch will have to be purged. Cut back, this cut off of it, that chop. You mean you don't leave it alone and just let it go and go and go? No. If you're bringing forth fruit and you find yourself going through terrible times, you ought to rejoice and thank God. Because if you look and realize there's no sin in your life, there's no punishment for something you've done wrong, it means you're going through the purging cycle after the bearing forth. And apparently the Lord looked at you and saw an abundance of fruit out of your life. And he said, now it's the purging time. But don't get all down in the mouth now and don't hang around singing the blues songs, but keep your heart on the promise and know after the purging will come forth more fruit. Just tell the gardener, drag out more bushels, because I'm fixing to bring forth more joy. I'm fixing to bring forth more peace, more long suffering, more of the goodness of God. This purging ain't going to wipe me out. It's going to take away from me anything that's contrary to the nature of God. Notice in verse 3, ye are clean to the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Now remember, when we're talking about fruit, fruit unto godliness has such a diversity, because you have the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, meekness, temperance, all of that. But there is a fruit which comes forth in the manifestation of the word for the day that you're living. With that will be what Paul called a fruit unto holiness. So there's many different aspects of fruit. But will a godly man, a godly woman, a godly boy, a godly girl, will they bring forth the fruit of the Spirit? Absolutely they will.
without contest. Now, if God gives a German man the Holy Ghost, does God give him a German version of the Holy Ghost, which will allow him to keep his German temperament, his German nature, his German whatever? So as God gives an Iraqi the Holy Ghost, does God give him an Iraqi version of the Holy Ghost? So when God gives us Tennesseans or Kentuckians or Indianans or Michigans or whatever we are, when God gives us the Holy Ghost, does He give us a state version of the Holy Ghost? Or does He give us an American version of the Holy Ghost? Or does God have one Holy Ghost and He gives the one to the Germans, to the Swiss, to the Finns, to the Indians, to the Pakistanis, whatever they are? Does all of His children get the same Holy Ghost? How come we still want to keep our American spirit after we get the Holy Ghost? How come the Germans still want to keep their German ways? And the Finns and the Norwegians? And make excuse why they're so ill-tempered and so mean. If you're still grouchy after you claim you got the Holy Ghost, I hate to disappoint you, but you never got the Holy Ghost. If you're still mean and love to wag your tongue, you ain't got the Holy Ghost. Brother Donnie's back in town. Oh, the sheeple's falling down. Now remember, friends, Jesus is the one who gives this principle. We know, of course, it cannot be broken. Abide in me, I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. This is why it's totally impossible for Caiaphas and us, any of the scribes and the Pharisees, to have brought forth the true fruit of the Spirit. They impersonated it. And they had nature given fruit, but not the genuine fruit of the Spirit. Impossible. There is no way a devil, an absolute devil, could bring forth more fruit of the Holy Ghost than a son or daughter of God. Don't even make any sense. Now watch in verse 5. I'm the vine and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. I want to be a much Christian. Oh my. For without me ye can do nothing. And the church said, amen. Verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Now, we want to bring glory to God. This is the way we do it. It's not by quoting the word. It's not by how well we memorize the dates and the events and the cities that Brother Branham preached in or the places where Jesus preached. That's not what glorifies God. Our long hair and all that, that's wonderful. But bringing forth fruit out of our lives, which only God can do. The devil can tell you the places where Brother Rand preached. Is this a sign of the end time? It was not so from the beginning. Hear ye him and all. The devil knows exactly all of those dates. The devil knows what day, true day, Jesus was born. He knew it wasn't December the 25th. The devil knows Christmas tree lights ain't got nothing to do with Jesus. The devil knows the way in a manger ain't nothing like people projected today. He knows all of that. He can quote all the facts. He can quote all those sort of things. But yet that is not fruit. Notice in verse 16, you have not chosen me, but I've chosen you. And I say, glory to God. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. So you mean it don't come and go? Well, I got the Holy Ghost today, and then, man, I lost my temper day before years, and I cussed like a sailor. Oh, Lord, I got drunk on the Holy Ghost Sunday night, and then I drunk a little bit of Jack Daniels on Wednesday night. That ain't the Holy Ghost. Oh, no, I'm not saying that you don't get drunk. You do, but you're still drinking the same brand all the time. It's St. John 15:16 brand. It ain't Jack Daniels. It ain't Old Crow. It's the old eagle that flew back from eternity to pick you attributes up into the mind of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now watch Paul as he twists this or shapes it a little bit different way than he said it that way. In Colossians chapter 1 verse 9. For this cause we also since the day we heard it. Do not cease to pray for you to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. Oh, what kind of church would we be if we was this type of people? Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. And the saints said,
amen.
Now watch, let's look again at Galatians chapter 5 verse 22. And let's watch Paul as he gives now the fruit, not fruits, but fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now there is now a nature given of every one of these things. There is an impersonation for every one of those things. Now we believe in genuine speaking in tongues, do we not? We believe in the gifts, prophesying, all that. But Satan can impersonate every one of those gifts. As a matter of fact, harvest time, Brother Ben tells us, Satan can hand out them supernatural gifts by the handful. Not God, Satan. People who want to base their evidence of the Holy Ghost on the gifts are deceived. People who want to base their evidence of the Holy Ghost on the impersonation of fruit of the Spirit are deceived. The evidence of the Holy Ghost is a genuine faith in the predestinated word for the hour that you live in, which you cannot get on your own. Now, let's look at this now again from the perspective where we looked at it the last time we were dealing with this on Wednesday night a couple weeks ago. That Brother Branham had been defending now and trying to pull away from those who believed that the mere impersonation of fruit of the Spirit was the evidence of the Holy Ghost. And then it's been taken and preached almost as if Brother Branham did not believe in the fruit of the Spirit at all. As if though you didn't even need the fruit of the Spirit, that actually you was more spiritual if you was more mean. Now watch, let's see where that people can get this idea. You can't judge by speaking in tongues, neither can you judge by the fruit of the Spirit. It's a manifestation of the Word of God brought to light. It's the light that does it. The man that walks in the light, Jesus Christ, was not founded upon speaking in tongues, though he did it. He was not on fruit of the Spirit, though he did. You couldn't judge it, but he believed and punctuated, and God lived every word of the promise of that day through him. That's the light of the hour. That's the evidence. Now, Jesus truly was not a mean, hateful, contrary person. Y'all believe that about Jesus? No. Watch this again, Bakersfield. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. Is that right? Fruit of the Spirit. Many people rely on that. Now this is the fallacy. This is the error. When people try to rely on what seems like fruit of the Spirit. He can impersonate that to the letter. So there is true love and there is an impersonation. There is true joy and there is an impersonation. There is true peace. And there is an impersonation. There is true long suffering. And there is an impersonation. Right? I don't want the impersonation. I want the real. There is an impersonation of speaking in tongues. But I've got the real one. And he's got the real one. There is an impersonation to a new birth. But I got the real one. There is an impersonation to being a Christian, but I'm not an impersonation. I'm a real one. So if I'm a real Christian, I've got real speaking in tongues, I've got real all of that, why can't I have real fruit of the Spirit? I do. And I will if I'm a Christian. Now watch this. Then Jesus came and called. So they said, well, fruit of the Spirit, that's what it is. Oh no, not fruit of the Spirit. Christian science has that. Well said, Brother Danny. Uh-oh. Christian science has that. That what? You mean they have the true fruit of the Spirit of Galatians 5, which can only be brought forth by someone that's come forth from the tree? Oh, my. Watch this now. Christian science has that. Why, love is the fruit of the Spirit. They have more love than anybody. And deny the deity of Jesus Christ. Well, it can't be perfect love. Because if it was perfect love, it couldn't deny Jesus. And it's this. But they do have love. But it's that smothery, honey-dewy, gooey type of stuff. It's that ooey-gooey, melassy stuff where we just embrace all the gays and the homosexuals and you can do whatever you want to do and that's love. I don't want all that ooey-gooey. Molasses is all right on a biscuit, but it ain't good on a preacher. Molasses and honey is all right when you're going to eat it, but brother, don't give me no honey-coated sermon. Can you imagine trying to put honey on a two-edged sword? Well, these preachers ain't got a sword. They got a butter knife. Come on, be honest. It's good for spreading that soft denominational margarine. Making everybody fat and sassy. But brother, God don't give me no butter knife. God don't call his God call men and give them butter knives and jam rolls. He gives them a sword. He gives them the gospel that'll lay out and separate soul and spirit. My. So what do these Christian Science people have? And y'all know what Christian Science people believe? You ought to study it sometime. They believe hardly anything apostolic. No. And that they got more love than us as message people. More love than Jesus. My. If y'all this quiet now, I can't imagine by 9:45 or 9:15 what it's going to be. Now watch him how he goes back now to the Pharisees. Them Pharisees, some of them said, well, it's fruit of the Spirit. That's right. Them Pharisees had more fruit of the Spirit, what we call fruit of the Spirit. Than we could ever produce. So now we've got a differentiation made to where he's not calling by the fruit of the Spirit of Galatians 5:22, but by what we call fruit of the Spirit. So a man that preaches harsh, a man that preaches sharp, a man that preaches right down where you live, by this standard, he has no love. Right? But this is not the standard. God's Word is the standard. My. Notice this again, and when their eyes were open, then what did this guy do when he got up there? He turned over the money tables, reference to Jesus, of course, beat them out of there, trying to keep a man from getting his soul right with God. Now remember, this is not actually facts. Brother Branham is putting out a scenario of the way they would have viewed it. Jesus was not trying to keep anybody from getting right with God. But that's the way they did it. Remember, friends, fruit of the Spirit was not an Old Testament teaching. Brother Branham is painting a scenario in reverse. That fruit of the Spirit was not even taught until Galatians 5:22, which is years after the Lord Jesus came to the earth. So the scribes knew nothing about it. But he's setting out a scenario in reverse. He's going backwards to a teaching of fruit of the Spirit and say, this is what the people would have thought about him in that day. Which is pretty much what they think about us today, the same thing. Oh my, what do you say about that godly old priest of yours? They were a bunch of snakes. Another devil, talk about fruit of the Spirit. They had him beat by a long ways. So you mean devils has gotten more love than God has. Now Jesus was the very heart of God. Well, this is getting sticky, isn't it? Watch this. That's no evidence of the Holy Ghost. You can't rely on that. You can't rely on the fruit of the Spirit. Because the fruit of the Spirit is love. And the Christian Science exercise more love than anybody I know of. Isn't it strange, though, that he would use the word exercise? We're not supposed to exercise love. That's what you do to your arms, ain't it? And you run. Exercise. We're fruit. This, we're not talking about exercise. What is exercise? Manufacturing. Producing it psychologically. They are exercising or manufacturing, which leads to hypocrisy. Anybody seen daylight? All right, the rest of you hang on. We'll get you through this tunnel. Now watch, he said, they even denied Jesus Christ being divine. But yet they would exercise more love than anybody he knew. Now listen close. Don't miss this. When it comes to being fruits of the Spirit, kind and gentle, I guess there wasn't a one of those priests that would outshine Jesus Christ. Well, maybe Kepha should have been the gentle Lamb of God then. He went to the temple, plaited ropes, looked upon them with anger, turned over the tables, and run them out of the place. My. And the church said,
amen.
But how could what they have be true divine love and them just look at him and say, he was nothing more than a man? But we have so much love. I'm not denying they don't have love. I'm just denying that they don't have the branch love. Because you can't have the branch love unless you're in the tree.
Amen.
Now remember, Brother Branham is not giving scriptural definitions of the fruit of the Spirit. He's giving a definition in the way people view it. And this is the way they view it. So in their eyes, if Jesus would come in today, if the Lord Jesus would come in today and visit the churches in Johnson City, Kingsport, and Bristol, ours included, and Jesus would preach what they needed, they'd have him out of there in 10 minutes. I hope we wouldn't. Now, why would Jesus start with the preachers, and I mean shock them down? You know, imagine some of them preachers wearing shorts to church and doing this, that, and the other, and some of the women dressed like I don't know what, and you think Jesus is going there and sit down and just hold his peace? My, he'd rip and tear like I don't know what. Well, they wouldn't invite him back. There would be no invitation coming back. And they would think the same thing. Now, look at them and say, this crazy guy come into our pulpit. He blasted the pastor. He blasted the trustee board. We're not having him back. That's exactly the same scenario that the prophet is saying. Oh my. Notice this in church order. Jesus was good natured too. But when it come time to say things, it's written, he said, in my Father's house is a house of prayer, and you're making a den of thieves. He knowed when to speak and when not to. That's right. Now he's answering a question about the deacons having people to behave in the house of God. Now this is what the answer is to this question. How far should we as deacons go to make people behave in the house of God? And this is his answer. Now listen to this. Talk about being a deacon in the church. He took over. He plaited some ropes together. Didn't wait to gently walk them out. He beat them out. At the house of God. He was playing the part of a deacon. But listen, deacon brothers. Don't none of y'all bring no cords to church. Anybody gonna whoop on my sheep, it's gonna be me. Now notice, this was fitting for that hour. But is this what every deacon's supposed to do? No. There is no command from there on down where any apostle, no prophet, no New Testament prophet ever beat anybody else out. But that was the word for that hour. If it was needed today, I'd be right in the middle of it. I'd be a plait roper, buddy. I mean, I'd know how to plait them and I'd know how to do them because I want to be illuminated by the light of this hour. But you know what? Now we do it by the word. Instead of picking up a rock, Harry, you got to tell you one thing, bam, bam, bam. My, if I'd done that to some of you, they wouldn't be enough to bury. Sorry, if some of you all no more you pray, no more you read your Bible, that wouldn't be enough to put in a shoebox time I got done. But today we take the word of God, then when we get done whipping, we pour the oil and the wine back in the wounds to bring you back to fellowship with God. My, watch Brother Branham, he says he was playing the part of the deacon for an example to you deacons. He was your example. Now it's written, my Father's house is a house of prayer. Now remember, Jesus was a deacon then. You know that Jesus was taking the part of a deacon. When he come to the part of a pastor, what he said? You blind Pharisees. Oh my. Leaders of the blind. See, was taking the part of a pastor. Now watch, question and answers. See, those priests were gentle and meek and understanding men. But is that the only side of those priests? Are we talking about the same ones that lied about Jesus? Are we talking about the same ones who lied about Stephen? Are we talking about the same ones who broke the order of even meeting of the Sanhedrin on the night time? And without all the Sanhedrin being there, and they put judgment on Jesus, and they broke one law after another, after another. They would not even go into Pilate's house being a Gentile, because they did not want to be defiled. And they lied like dogs. They lied, they absolutely brought all kinds of things against Jesus. Were they truly gentle? They were not. They were perceived gentle. They were perceived meek. They were perceived humble. But they were serpents. That's right. My, notice this. And he says, when it comes to fruit of the Spirit, they could show more fruits of the Spirit than Jesus ever could. True ones? True fruit of the... Nature given. Impersonations. Praise God. Y'all seeing daylight? Good. Statue of a perfect man. Now I want to say this. There are some people that have a portion of this virtue, knowledge, wisdom, patience, and so forth, that don't even profess to be Christians. Haven't you met some people that were just so nice, and you found out they weren't even saved? And they were nicer than some people you go to church with. Might have even been nicer than your wife. Your husband, or some of your kids. Why? Nature gave them that temperament that they're so nice, so easy to get along with. And then some Christians were given a horrible human temperament by birth, natural birth. And they deal with it, they deal with it. And you're some sinners, and the star that's born under, the genetic code they receive become the nature of one behind it, and they're just tempered so good. Until you cross them, of course. Now watch how he explains this on the statue of a perfect. Now remember, he's building the virtues. Now what he's going to do is build the virtues which will be inborn by the Spirit of God. And then he's going to put another pyramid on the other side and show that there can be one right over here by it that can be nature given. You talking about a deceiver and a deceived person. You imagine if a person had all of these virtues by nature? They could have faith and love, and virtue, knowledge, temperance, nature by nature. And then maybe they have to impersonate one or two. And we look at them and say, man, what a Christian. Wow, what a Christian. They're no more a Christian than the man who's got the awfulest temper that ever was unless it's spirit given. That's what God recognizes. Now watch how he likens this. He said that don't even profess to be Christians. Now, we're just teaching Sunday school, and that's true. There's some people who have a portion of this that don't even pretend to be Christians. But that don't. They're like a blackbird trying to put peacock feathers in his wings to make him a peacock. He only disgraces himself. Now, I've got a couple of blackbirds mounted in my house. And I've got a beautiful blue India peacock. He has all kinds of iridescent colors. Blues and greens and aquas. And depending on how the light hits him when you stand. And you stand and look at him this way and you see certain colors. Stand over here and see certain colors. And he's mounted to where he stands upon a pedestal thing that I made. And his tail hangs way, way down. His big old tail is about this long. Now at the end of his tail has all these beautiful iridescent blues and greens and blacks. Now what makes him and give him the ability to mate is that he will stand and take those feathers and spread himself out and shake. And it produces an illumination that the females will look at him. And it's like it mesmerizes them in his attention. And according to the colors and the span and all of that, that's what Billy basically gives him the ability to reproduce himself. Can you imagine if I go home tonight and that tail actually comes off. It hooks. A taxidermist made it where it would come off. So if I would go home and unhook that and I would take him over and put him on that old crow that Brother Tim Pruitt sent me. Now that old crow, there's two of them. There's one kind of mounted up like this and there's another one sitting. And they're mounted over a dead armadillo. And they're picking at that dead armadillo. Now you imagine how fitting it would be to put that beautiful aqua blue and green and all that, oh my, on top of that old crow. Caw, caw, caw. It's going to weight him down. It's going to slow him down. He won't be never able to eat near as much of carrion as he did before. He's going to look plumb ugly. He ain't going to look natural. He ain't going to be a crow nor a peacock. He's a peacrow. That's what a lot of message folks are. They don't really belong in the world, and they don't really belong here. Aren't you glad you found where you belong? Oh, hallelujah. I don't feel at home in this world. I wouldn't make a good Baptist. I'd make a terrible Methodist. I'd make an awful Catholic. I'd make a horrible Presbyterian. I would not make a Unitarian. I would not make a good Christian Science guy at all, but I'd make a wonderful message believer. Oh, hallelujah. I would be awful as a Catholic priest. I would be awful as an Episcopalian priest. But I'd make a wonderful fire baptized, Holy Ghost filled, anointed man of God to preach the message in the last day. And all my feathers are grown. They're not stuck in. So you see, I can shout and dance and not worry about, ooh, I better not do that, they might fall out. My feathers are grown. Praise the Lord. But can you imagine an old crow center said, and a female peacock hear him. And she goes answering him. And here she comes. And she walks over there. And she don't believe her eyes. Here is this jet black crow. But he's a cool crow. Because he found this peacock feather and he stuck it up behind his ear like this. He's a cool dude, man. I mean, that aqua green and that blue, and my, he thinks he is something. You imagine her going on and say, what in the world's the matter with you? You ain't my mate. Let me just tell the devil, you ain't my mate. You tricked me into that first marriage. But my soulmate was the Word, Jesus Christ. Amen, church. God don't want us to have nature-given love, nature-given faith, nature-given meekness. He wants it to be virtue-born. My brother Bram said it's like a blackbird trying to put peacock feathers in his wings. To make him a peacock, he only disgraces himself. It'd be better to stay a blackbird. When he tries to exercise these things without being a Christian, he's just simply all out of place. It's like a sycamore tree trying to manufacture apples. Couldn't do it, although it's a tree, but it can't manufacture apples. Watch him in blasphemous names. He carries over the same thought. Patience and so forth. Now there's a mockery of it. A pretending to be. A nature given face. By nature. Do you understand? Some people have the natural ability to believe in God and yet they're not a part of God. And they can receive things. Friend, many of the denominational people, they're able to tap into the blessings, into the financial thing, and they'll break into certain principles in there, and they'll, my man, they'll run that thing dry. And some of you will sit around, and it's like you can't understand it, and they get all the gravy, and you get the blue John. What? They have a nature-given faith. They hear a principle preached. They turn the TV on and some message preacher on there is from nothing, leaves nothing. So if you want to receive, you got to sow a seed. Wonder why that's always one-sided. Wonder why they always want to sow it their way. But some people will do it. They'll say, man, that's right. That's what the Word says. And that natural given faith, they'll sow $20 and then they'll get back more. And they'll go, oh, praise God, it works. And them live like a devil. Why? A nature given faith. Lord Jesus. A nature given faith. A nature given virtue. A nature given temperance. This is an absolute paradox to me. There's some people that ain't even Christians. They've got better control over their temper
than some children of God. But you know what? These nature-given people still need to be born again. Because they're still lost. You may look at them and say, man, I wish I could be like that. I don't know if I'd want to be or not. I think I'd almost rather be the other guy. At least I'd be able to acknowledge I've got a need. Because that nature-given guy, he's got so much of this and so much of that. He's a pretty good fellow. Oh, children, let me tell you something, parents. Emphasize this to your kids. Many of our kids have got a nature-given faith. They've got a nature-given conception. The message, they've got many of these nature-given things. And then when they run up and they're going to school and high school and college, and then all this nature-given stuff gives way to the peer pressure. Lead them to Christ. Lead them to a new birth. Or say, my kid's a good kid. That ain't enough. They've got to be born again. They've got to have the Holy Ghost. That nature-given thing will buckle under peer pressure. Oh, my. I want you to listen to this, and it's absolutely amazing. And who do you say this is? The evidence of the Holy Ghost is believing His Word. Always been in every age. You can receive the Word. Those priests had Jesus beat a million miles when it come to fruits of the Spirit. Gentle, peaceful, meek, lowly. He tore up churches, kicked them over, tore the people out, called them snakes in the grass, and everything. Now, did those men have more genuine fruits a million miles than Jesus? No. This is from the perception of where He's projecting this. You understand, friends? This is, you got to be in the view where He's at. Or if you take this out, you're missing applying what He said. There's no way devils could have more of the fruit of the Holy Ghost than the Holy Ghost Himself. But the way people look at it, oh my. Praise be to God. But you know what I find amazing? When I go to study on something, what I want to do is to be able to study that thing as thorough as I can in my limited ability. So that I don't take 3 or 4 quotes or even 4 or 5 or 5 or 6 pages and make them quotes line up to a preconceived thought that I have or an agenda that I have. I want to make sure that what I'm looking at balances itself. For a false balance is an abomination in the eyes of the Lord, but a just weight is His delight. So said Solomon in the book of Proverbs. So when you go to study in anything, you want to make sure that you're balancing yourself out. Praise the Lord. Now, if anybody asks you about water baptism and you gave them the scripture of Matthew 28:19, are you giving them a fair and balanced answer? You are not. You're giving them one scripture even without the understanding. If they ask you about water baptism and you say, well, Acts 2:30, don't pay no attention to that Matthew 28:19, you still don't understand it either. Amen. When I first was being someone trying to talk to me years and years ago about being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and this person, my, they knew I was baptized in titles, and this person kept trying to tell, oh, you gotta do what Peter said. And you go, well, Jesus, well, no, don't worry about that. And you know what I realized right there? That individual, that man did not have an understanding himself. But you know how I was led to water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus? When a man was able to take Matthew 28:19 and preach Acts 2:38 out of that. Then I thought, this man knows what he's talking about. Then he wasn't denying this. No, don't read that. No, you can't believe that. But out of that very defense come the offense revealed. Oh, glory to God. Out of that very thing unfolded Acts 2:38. Listen now, let's look at some other things that the same prophet said about fruit of the Spirit. The Lamb and the Dove. It takes a genuine, pure, born again, Holy Ghost-led life to prove what you are. Now that's right, my dear brother, sister, unless there's a fruit. And the fruit of the Spirit is not outward demonstration. Watch now. Now what were those scribes and Pharisees showing? An outward demonstration. Jesus unveiled them. He said, you make long pretense of prayers. And you devour widows' houses. You're like dead men's tombs. You're like a sepulcher that's painted on the outside, but the inside of you, you're full of dead men's bones. Now what were they seeing? They were seeing what was on the outside. They didn't see the politics that went on behind the pool curtains. Praise the Lord. Oh my. What's this? It's an inward work of grace.
love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, faith, meekness, gentleness, patience. There you are. Now let's watch this thought and continuity now. Father, if they haven't got the fruit of the Spirit that keeps them day by day in constant love, forgiving their enemies, making right their wrongs, and living peaceful and loving and sweet and kind to one another, and a zeal for the church, a love for Christ and for His children, oh, eternal God, forgive them. Praise the Lord. Notice again in Hebrews, what is the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, faith, peace, long-suffering. That's a part of God that's in you. And can forbearance, forgiving one another's burdens, forgiving one another as God, for Christ's sake, forgive you. The Spirit of God in you makes you that way. Well, Brother Donnie, I can do that, but it takes me about 5 years. Well, I hope God don't accumulate your sins for 5 years. Well, people hurt me and it takes me a while to get over it. Yeah, you're telling the truth. It takes you a while to get over it. It don't take the Spirit of God. Well, glory to God, Brother Donnie. Preach it. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Come on now, children. Let's just say the truth and be honest. It's not the Spirit of God that it takes 3 weeks or 4 weeks or a month or 6 months to get over our pouting spells. It's our stinking flesh. I'm glad God don't pout on us. Because I'd be having more pouting than I would loving, I'm afraid. And you would too. I'll go ahead and say it for you. Aren't you glad that when you go to Him, He's able to forgive you right then? Can you imagine? Oh, my. Oh, but I just can't do that. Now, I'll tell you one reason why I can't do it. Because you will not allow Him to do it through you. You're holding on to your daddy's ways or your mama's ways or Uncle Fred's ways or Uncle Jack's way. You better let go of Uncle Jack's ways if his ways is contrary to the word. Let go of Uncle Fred and Aunt Susie Bell and Aunt Lula Bell and whoever the Bells are and get a hold of that forgiving Spirit of Christ. Notice this now. My. We jump from 57 to 60. If a man's born of the Spirit of God or a woman, they have the fruit of the Spirit. They walk godly. Remember what we're talking about now, godly, fruitful life. They walk godly. They live that life. They keep away from the things of the world. God, listen to this, God moves in them and makes Himself manifest and proves that He's God working in there. The other is impersonating. Notice again, are you constantly abiding in His presence with the fruit of the Spirit in your life? Long-suffering, goodness, meekness, gentleness. Can you bear for someone to talk about you and you love them so much till your heart, you pray for them? Or is it a selfish little prayer? Oh, Lord, I know I ought to pray for him. Oh, brother. Does that sweetness and the love of God, oh God, sweep over my soul. Holy Spirit, sweep over my soul. Can't you see why people want to eradicate the need of the fruit of the Spirit? Why? So it can justify them not praying for their enemies. Being bitter and hateful and holding grudges and being resentful. And just remember, when you're that way, it hurts you worse than the person you're resenting. Because it'll grieve the Holy Ghost away from you. Exactly right. Notice this again in Galatians 5. It said the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, gentleness, patience. These are not to be manufactured. They're to be products that comes from the inside out. Notice this now. The outside life that we live proves what's on the inside. So the reason that old crow of mine has black feathers is because he has a crow life. The reason that indigo peacock has beautiful blue feathers is because by seed he is an indigo blue peacock. The reason you are a child of God and you can forgive other folks and other people look at you and say, how in the world can you do that? Because you're a thought of God. You're like your Father. How can they hold grudges? Because they don't have what you have. Oh my. Notice this. We have tried to manufacture this. To manufacture the fruits of the Spirit. And I want you to listen to the result. And we always turn out hypocrisy. Because you cannot manufacture Christianity. Praise the Lord. It's an experience by Spirit that lives in you and bears fruit of itself. So how could Caiaphas then have all fruit of the Spirit, genuine fruit of the Spirit, and him be a devil? He couldn't. He had what people perceived was such love. Now, we would buy a radio spot here in Johnson City and some of these local stations, and we would put my Wednesday night sermons. Say, let's pick the ones on... Let me say, I think a good one to start with will be one I preached several years ago, Christmas and Sodom. And then what we'll do, we'll air it in between some of the Baptist preachers and some of the Methodists next to the Catholic. And I wonder what the people now of the world would say who had the most love. It wouldn't be me, of course. Can you imagine just the series that I just did on modesty and apparel and all that, and I would put that on television or radio? As a matter of fact, there was the brother in the message that has a television station in a nation away from here, and he'd written about our videos and said, well, why don't you let us put them on? I said, brother, I don't think so. I don't think I'm that type of preacher. I don't think, I mean, you imagine John the Baptist being on video. I'll tell you one thing, you better rip it. That's just not me. I'm not the TV guy. I don't belong in Houston. I belong here. We ain't got 90,000 or how many ever they've got. That's not me. That's not me. Because you can imagine, say, man, that guy ain't got no love. Yet you would hear me and say, that man, I ain't never have sat under a pastor in my life that shows me so much love. And they say, you're crazy. You don't know what love is. No, you don't know what love is. Because real love is corrective. But through their eyes, we have none. Look at our young girl sitting around here. That long hair. How could you mothers love your girls and not allow them to wear mini skirts to church? How could you mothers love your girls and not allow them to wear makeup and paint up like a whore? You don't love them compared to the world. But compared to God, you do love them. Why do we do our girls that way? Because that's the way He does His girls. Now the devil lets his girls dress up like Jezebels. He lets the men do anything and everything they want to do because that's the way the devil does. The devil is not love. The devil can't love. But God is love. And God corrects. And God whips. And God tells the truth. Isn't it amazing? Brother Branham says whenever we get there that day and we'll all sit across the table and we'll look at one another. And there were such them battle-scarred veterans. And we'll reach across the table and take hold of one another's hands. And we'll sit there and cry and he'll come and wipe the tears out of our eyes. Isn't it amazing that we'll not sit there with any whip marks? But I wonder in reality, did I get more battle scars in life or did I get more whippings from him I'm talking about? More than likely I got more whippings than I did battle scars. But since it's a coronation and a crowning of the king, and a beginning of a new empire, my whip marks would be unbecoming to an overcomer. So somehow I lose my whip marks from him. I lose my spank marks, but he lets me sit down there at the table with my battle scars. As if though I was a battle scarred veteran the whole time. When in reality, I was a poor, feeble child that had to be corrected week by week, spanked week by week. But he don't want me to be embarrassed. He don't want you to be embarrassed. So instead of sitting there with whip marks, well, where'd you get that one at? Oh, I disobeyed the Lord and he bruised me. Where'd you get that one at? I disobeyed the Lord. But it's just Brother Donnie, where'd you get that one? That was here I stand. Where'd you go? That one was this and that was it. Oh my, there we sat battle scarred as if though my, we were hardened soldiers from the birth, hardened soldiers from the beginning, and there we sat with scars. Oh my. Come on now. Yeah. Amen. You talking about grace. Oh Jesus. Lord Jesus. Notice this question and answer 61. What kind of life is in you? The life that's in it bears stickers, always fussing, cutting up, real mean and ill. You see what I mean? Arrogant? That's not the fruit of the Spirit. But some of God's children got this by nature. Smart-mouthed, arrogant, ill. They can't even say a good word hardly to nobody. But what's amazing is when he dispersed that predestinated seed, when the predestinated seed fell down in that old winter the Wolverine. And God let a seed fall down in there. And it lived like a devil for I don't know how many years. God burst it. That old Wolverine thing is still there. That old cockabur on the outside. But that new life on the inside. Don't do that to me. Quit. Don't beat me. Quit saying that to everybody. That's not nice of you. And maybe you work with nice, nature-given people. And they have a better temperament, human temperament, than you do. And Satan will take them and say, look at you. You're a Christian. You're in the message. You believe Brother Branham. Don't you love it the way he gets saved? Whenever we first come to the message, I don't remember calling Brother Branham to me when I first come to the message. But after I come to the message, he changed his terminology. Started calling Brother Branham, Brother Branham. Hypocrite. But he'll take them same quotes that you love and try to condemn you. I thought you had the Holy Ghost. I thought you're supposed to be this gentle little dove. You're just flying around everywhere. You know you fight temper. You know you fight when somebody does something. You have a hard time forgiving them. Brother Michael, maybe we ought to cut off these sorry old mean people on the internet so I can preach to these little angels here tonight. It's a shame y'all have to be beat up so bad for them people, mean people that stream all over the country. But let me tell you something, little eagle. He will get the best out of you if he has to kill you. Because if that seed landed in good ground, nature may have given you a bad temperament. Nature may have given you a bad problem with lust. But the Holy Ghost will give you power to overcome it. And there won't be one of us that'll slide out of here and stand before him that day and he'll give you a t-shirt. I endured Laodicea. Oh no! The bride ain't gonna stand there with t-shirts on. We will overcome. Amen. And much of what we have to overcome is what nature gave us. Can I take just a couple more minutes? Notice he said, that's the way we should live. Yes, certainly not greedy, selfish, indifferent, ungodly. The fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, long-suffering, meekness, gentleness, faith, patience. That's it. That's the fruit of the Spirit. You know, a tree. A tree's got sycamore bark on it and apples growing on it. What is it? It's an apple tree. Isn't that a strange scenario? Now, let's look at this again. A tree's got sycamore bark on it and apples growing on it. What is it? It's an apple tree. Why? Why would it be an apple tree? Because the fruit testifies of the life. Amen. Do you understand much of our problem? It's our sycamore bark. Amen. It just keeps seeking more flesh, seeking more flesh, seeking more pleasure, seeking more this, seeking more that. But brother, let the apple life come out. Oh glory, let it keep on. It'll change that sycamore bark. The life in the tree produces apples, no matter what your theology is, right or wrong. If you're bearing the wrong kind of fruits, you're the wrong kind of tree, brother. Jesus said, by their fruits you shall know them, not by their tree. Good Lord. Don't misunderstand me. I'd rather have the wrong bark than the wrong fruit. Because if I keep bearing the right fruit, my bark's fixing to be changed. This old sycamore, he's going to seek some more, all right. My soul's seeking more. He's going to bring that sycamore to a tree of life. Amen. Yes, sir. That's exactly right. What is it? It's a wheat heart on the inside of a cockle bear. Let me close. You take a person that speaks with tongues with enough temper to fight a buzzsaw. Talk about their neighbors and everything like that. Don't you call that the Holy Ghost? It cannot be. No, sir. The Holy Ghost is meekness, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, patience, faith. That's the fruit of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit bears in the church of the living God sweetness, humbleness, humility, love for one another, long-suffering. Let's stand together. Brother Eric, let's jump down to flashing red lights, about two quotes below where you are there, paragraph 166. I know that someday I've got to die, and I hope that God never lets Satan crown me as an old crabbed, indifferent man, and my wife an old nagging woman. This is Satan's crown. For many people. Now he didn't say she's a bobbed-haired woman. Even a cigarette-sucking woman. Just a nagging woman. And him an old crabbed man. That's a crown from the devil. Well, I'm getting old. I'll tell you one thing. I don't see anybody here tonight as old as John the Beloved was. Whenever John reached about 96, 95, 96, Amen. He said he just sat around and cried, couldn't preach no more. He just said, children, love one another. Amen. He was wearing his crown. And it wasn't an old crabbed man. Some of you young folks got your crown early. Some of you folks in your 30s and 40s, you got your crown early. You ought to cast that crown off of your head. This is not becoming to me as a son of God to be a crabbing man or a nagging woman. Amen. Nags is good for horses, not Christians. Amen. Ooh. That funny smell, I smell it every time. Now listen, Brother Branham, how sincere he is on this. I hope that God never lets Satan crown me as an old crabbed, indifferent man, and my wife an old nagging woman, or your wife, or you that way. I pray, brother, that our lives will be crowned with the fruits of the Spirit. Listen, look here at this message. Flashing red light of the sign of His coming, 3 months after the seals have been opened. I'd like for you to do something sometime. Those of you who like to study the message, study and see how many times Brother Branham mentioned thunders after the seals was preached, and then see how many times he mentioned forgiveness and mercy and love. Amen. Praise the Lord. You imagine. I pray that our lives will be crowned with the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, long suffering, gentleness, patience, truth, faith in the Holy Spirit. What a crown. What a crown. You mean Caiaphas had this? Anna said this? No. Those priests that lied and brought blasphemy against Jesus, they had this? Of course not. They was a blackbird, but they'd found a few peacock feathers out of the message, apparently, and been able to stick a few in there, and they could wear their long robes and their phylacteries. And they made long prayers, which when you look at that and study that, we'll get to it sometime later. But it meant they prayed 3 times a day in sessions of 3 hours. 9 hours a day. They began with 45 minutes of meditation, then an hour of prayer, then another 45 minutes of meditation, and finishing it with prayer three times a day. But Jesus said, you blind guides. You stand in the way and you won't go in, and you won't let nobody else go in either. But yet the people saw them. Oh, my kind old priest, my kind old priest. May God help us. How many wants more of this flowing out of your life? Not the impersonation now. Not the nature given. Look, friends, forget trying to manufacture this. I've been guilty. I don't know about you. I can't say for you. But I have been guilty with trying to produce more love. I've been guilty of trying to produce more joy. I was a Pentecostal professional when it comes to producing joy. That brother right there would make them people shout with that organ. I mean, that brother right there would make them shout with his harmonica and singing. I would make them shout. Boy, we could produce joy. And when we got done producing, it lasted 15, 20 minutes maybe. What good did it do? But if you get this real kind, it's there when Harry ain't here. I mean, you can say, oh no, Harry's not on the organ. Brother Chuck is gone to see Sister Tammy. Oh no. How are we going to have church the same way we always did? We'll miss them, yes, but we're going to have church anyhow. Praise the Lord. Oh no. Brother Donnie's gone hunting. It's another Dollywood weekend. Brother Donnie's out of town. But you see, friends, for a real, real birth, you've got joy, you've got peace, long suffering, faith, goodness, joy. And for that man or woman who would absolutely do everything they could to destroy you, you from your heart can say, Father, forgive them. And not only can you repeat those beautiful, precious words, but you'll be able to follow that prayer with, Father, I forgive them. It's one thing for you to pray that prayer that God will forgive them. It's another thing with you with the same integrity can say, I forgive them. I may always remember what they've done to me, Lord, but from my heart, I forgive them. That's hard to do. Praise the Lord. Do we want godly men and godly women that want to be fruitful Christians? Let's bow our heads together if you would, please. Oh, Heavenly Father, I stand here tonight, Lord. I think of the times that I've said things against people, Lord. I think of the times, Lord, that I've not manifested your forgiveness and your mercy as quickly as I should have. Help us, Lord, to love like you. We want to replicate your signs, your wonders. We want to lay hands on the sick, and we love to hear those testimonies. So-and-so prayed for so-and-so and they were healed, and went to the hospital and prayed for this, and they come out, and that's all wonderful. We love all that. Lord, do we want to love like you? Forgive like you? Be like you in that way? Or do we just want to walk on water and be an old crabbed man? Lord, I'd rather walk a godly life on earth than walk on every lake in this country. Because if I don't have the right attitude, all it's going to do is give me a puffed up head on that crowned head of an old crabbed man. Help us, Lord. Lord Jesus, let me say to you tonight, honestly and openly, I shut down my manufacturing business quite some time back of trying to manufacture fruit of the Spirit. I've been guilty. I had my business up and going. I had my factory running. Trying to produce love. Trying to produce joy. Trying to produce this and that. But failure after failure, it led me to realize I could not manufacture any of them. I have to let go and let God. Lord Jesus, help us. Help us that it'll be so easy from the soul to live this kind of life. It's just as easy for a child of God to live this life
as it is a sinner to live his life. Thank you, Lord. Father, we come to the time of the year that many years ago in our nation it was set aside and recognized as your birthday. We know it was not. But yet, Lord, they even attached part of your name to it, Christmas. But I find it so sad because your part of it is relatively gone to most people. It's not about you. Even with many Christians, it's not about you. It's about family. It's about songs and decorations, and that's Christmas to them. But Lord, help us not to be that way. Help us, Lord, that you will still be the reason that we talk about it, Lord. Lord Jesus, may your life live through us, I pray, Father. We love you with all of our hearts. Praise God. And the church said,
Amen.
Oh, come, let us adore him. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. How many godly men, godly women, godly young men, young women want to be fruitful, want to be fruit-bearing Christians? Brother Donnie, I'm not there. Oh, I'm not there either. I'm not saying I'm there. But I'm saying I'm going to be. I'm well on my way. I'm much closer this week than I was last week. Praise God. I am not going to be discouraged. If I see somebody who has a nature given, whatever it is, that can outdo me, I'm not going to be discouraged. Because my sycamore bark will be changed. It's going to be changed to tree of life bark. If I keep bringing forth love and joy and goodness and long suffering, my bark has got to change. By the time I get ready to embark, my bark will be changed. Praise be to God. Oh, come let us adore. Let's sing it now. Oh, come let us adore him. Oh, come let us adore him. Christ the Lord. Let's sing it again. Oh, come let us adore him. Oh, come. Say, Brother Donnie, have you got your Christmas tree up? I do. I keep mine up 365 days a year. It's this one right here. It's sycamore on the outside, but it brings forth apples. That's a funny looking Christmas tree, but that's where God put his presents. God puts gifts of love and puts them in my tree. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I ain't worshiping Jesus in a manger. I'm worshiping Jesus in me. Come on now. A real true manger scene today wouldn't be a baby. It'd be me laying on that pulpit. It'd be you laying on it. It'd be you laying out in front of your yard, but they already think we're crazy enough. Aren't you glad you know where he is?
Amen.
Hallelujah. He's here. He's here. Amen. He's not a baby in a manger. He is a husband looking for his wife.
Praise be to God. God bless you, saints. Go in the fear of God. Lord willing, I'll see you this weekend. Had a real, really nice time going together. Brother Darrell and Brother Daniel Ball. I passed some shooter deer that I could have taken, but I decided not to, so I was looking for something bigger. But I had one of the most awesome, wonderful times that I have had with my Lord Jesus in quite some time. Brother Ram said to hunt means to get along with God and pray. You'll be hearing about it. You'll be benefiting from my last hunting trip. God bless you. Go in the fear of God. See you this weekend. Oh, come let us. I love you in the Lord. Oh, come let us adore Him. Oh, come let us adore Him, Christ the Lord.
He alone is worthy, for He alone is worthy, for He alone is worthy.